This is a global original podcast from Classic FM.
What instrument is this? If you guess violin or viola, then you're wrong. You've brought shame to us all. Have you learned nothing from these podcasts? The correct answer is the instrument is a viola organista, an incredibly rare and obscure instrument. The viola organista was designed by the inventor Leonardo da Vinci, who was a famous painter and decorator. But the instrument was never actually built. That is, until 2012, when a Polish musician built the only one that's ever existed in history. While it looks like a piano, you can hear that it sounds like a string instrument. So what, you say? I may not know that instrument, but I know plenty of other instruments. Trumpet, triangle, didgeridoo, get off my back! Well, firstly, what's your attitude? Secondly, there are actually loads of wonderful, obscure musical instruments out there, and countless pieces of music which make use of their weird sounds, like birds, cannons, helicopters, and even silence. Join me as we delve into some of the weirdest instruments in music. What does this sound like to you? A ghost? A whining grandmother? No, this is the theremin. It's maybe the only instrument in the world that you can play without touching. It's named after its inventor, Leon Theremin, and it consists of a little electronic box that changes sound depending on how you move your hands near it. You'll also recognize it as the source of lots of the sound effects in old horror movies. It makes anything spooky. Listen.
And that's when she realized that her library book was 2 days overdue.
See? Pretty spooky, huh?
David, we're trying to make the show a bit more cool for the kids. Could you do that again, but with something trendier than library books?
Fine.
Oh, that's when she realised that her fidget spinner was 2 days overdue!
David, that doesn't really make sense.
All right, forget it. Who needs a theremin anyway? Out of the studio you go. Let's move on to one of the rarest instruments in the world. You've probably only seen a billion of these in your school. It's the recorder. But here's a question for you. What are recorders made of? If you said plastic, then well done you big smarty pants. But did you know you can make a recorder out of a carrot? In fact, you can make all sorts of instruments out of vegetables. And this has led to the creation of the world's first vegetable orchestra. Here's a very small preview of this edible ensemble in action. Meat eaters, cover your ears. And I was always told it was bad manners to play with your food. Anyway. Not only does the vegetable orchestra sound great, they also comfortably get their 5 a day. A quick word of advice, though. It's much easier to turn food into instruments than it is to turn instruments into food. I learned that the hard way after eating a saxophone. Very tricky to eat. Even trickier to get out the other end. Pardon me. If we're talking about experimental music and weird instruments, there's no way we can leave out John Cage. He's an American musician who made it his life's work to take music to places it had never been before. In 1952, John Cage wrote a piece of music called 4 Minutes and 33 Seconds, which consists of 4 minutes and 33 seconds of pure silence. Yep, just nothing at all. Let's listen to all of it now.
David?
Not now, Producer Sally. I'm listening to John Cage's masterpiece.
But, David, we haven't got...
Shh! Sally, shh! Listen to the beautiful, clever music!
David, we haven't got that piece of music.
Well, what have I been listening to, then?
Well, nothing.
Well, yes, I know that, obviously. So, John Cage, whose piece we definitely weren't listening to just then, firmly believed that any sound can constitute music. And this piece was his greatest example. However, it isn't his longest example. In 1987, Cage composed a piece called As Slow As Possible, which is designed to be played, you've guessed it, as slowly as possible. We've invited in a sloth to get their opinion on the piece.
It sounds pretty.
All right, that's enough. In the 1990s, a group of musicians realized that a pipe organ can play notes almost endlessly, and so they built a special organ in Germany specifically to play Cage's piece. The organ started playing in 2001 and is due to finish 639 years later, in the year 2640. I wonder what they'll make of it then.
Look over here, Z-Bar. I have found some kind of artifact from the Trumpian era.
Beep-a-boop-boop. What is it? Why does it make that noise? Is it crying?
I don't have a blorping idea.
Please watch your language. I will run some tests on this bizarre noise right now. My audio identification software has narrowed it down to two possible sounds. It is either a German organ playing the John Cage song As Slow As Possible, or the sound of a vegetable orchestra.
Vegetable? What is a blorping vegetable?
Again, watch your language. There may be children listening. A vegetable was a kind of food that grew in soil.
Soil? Ugh, disgusting. Right, let's report back to King Drake the 14th and tell him of our discovery.
How exactly is this organ in Germany going to play John Cage's piece for over 600 years? Well, it's actually pretty simple. The people running the project have stuck some weights on the organ keys. Then, every few years, when it's time to change the notes, they move the weights to the next keys. The last time the organ weights were moved was 2013, and the notes won't be changed again until 2020. And you thought this show was one note. Sorry, Producer Sally, why did you just play the sound of a drum? That's not a weird or obscure instrument.
No, David, that was a sound effect to show that you'd told your first joke of the series.
What? I've been telling loads of jokes.
Sorry, we hadn't noticed.
I suppose I am a bit of an acquired taste. If you haven't got time to listen to a 639-year-long piece of music, then maybe this next piece is more your type. I said type because it's played on a typewriter. More your type, typewriter, get it? So, no comedy drum for that joke? Okay, fine. Tough crowd. As I was saying, this piece is called The Typewriter and is by Leroy Anderson. As we're now establishing, there really isn't any object in the world that can't be plucked or pressed, blown into or hit to make classical music. And Italian composer Giuseppe Verdi proved this once again when he added a new instrument as part of his 1853 opera Il Trovatore, the anvil. The beauty of the anvil as an instrument is that anyone can play it, just whack it with a hammer. Bingo! Instant grade 8 anvil player. During the opera, characters on stage pretend to hit an anvil, while down in the orchestra pit, a musician actually does hit an anvil. Here's what it sounds like. Yeah. beautiful. You can tell that anvil player is a professional. That's not the only tool-based nonsense you'll find in classical music. Mahler's Sixth Symphony specifically requires that a large mallet be smashed down at a specific point in the piece. Listen. I'm not that musical, but even I could do that. And that was just with my hand. Imagine what I could do with a professional orchestra-quality mallet. Not to be outdone in the non-instrument instrument department, Tchaikovsky wrote his 1812 overture to include an entire section of giant cannons. And speaking of musical pieces that are very hard to stage, Ligeti created a piece called Poème Symphonique for 100 metronomes. In case you don't know, metronomes are those tricky things that help musicians keep time. And in case you also don't know, 100 is the number between 99 and 101. Here's an extract. One thing I think we can all agree on is that it sounds horrible. The only person who can possibly like that piece of music is the owner of the metronome shop. Now, while over 100 metronomes don't come cheap, they're still cheaper than this string quartet by Stockhausen, which consists of four musicians, four string instruments, and four fully functioning helicopters. Yes, this quartet is specifically designed to be played and recorded on four helicopters that are all mid-flight. Why not suggest it to your music teacher for the school end-of-term performance? Actually, prepare for a joke. I think it's an interesting piece, but I'm not sure if it'll take off. Take off! No comedy drum roll there either, Sally?
What for?
Never mind. Less expensive than helicopters, but nearly as bonkers, is the Toy Symphony, which was written with parts for toys. People aren't sure who wrote it, but it may have been Haydn or even Mozart.
You rang?
Hi, Mozart. We're trying to work out if you wrote the Toy Symphony.
Oh, boy. Let me think. I did write a whole lot of symphonies. Let me check my records. Okay, I've got my boy symphony, that's a symphony just for boys. I've got my coy symphony, that's a symphony that can only be played when you're feeling shy. I've got my toy symphony, that's one symphony hiding inside another giant wooden horsey symphony. Aha! Here it is, the toy symphony. And it is by Mozart.
So you did write it?
No, I didn't.
But you just said Mozart wrote it.
I did, yes. Mozart definitely wrote it.
So you did write it?
No. No, I didn't.
But you're Mozart.
Yes, I am Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. But the Toy Symphony was written by Leopold Mozart. No relation.
Yes, he is. He's your father.
Oh, yes. So he is. Actually, a very close relation.
Thank you, Mozart, for clearing that up. Let's now hear an extract from the Toy Symphony.
You! Excuse me?
Yes, madam, can I help you?
Did you throw a spooky electronic box out of your window?
Me? No! I don't know anything about spooky electronic boxes called theremins.
Wait, how do you know what it's called then?
Oh, yeah, because I saw the person who threw it out of the window.
You did? Who was it?
Mozart. Mozart did it.
Mozart?
Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, though, not Leopold Mozart. He just left the studio. You can probably still catch him.
Right. Thank you for your help. If only there were more kind people like you in this world.
I say that every day. Goodbye. That was a close one. Almost got caught.
What did you say?
I thought you'd left.
No, I decided to stay. What was it you just said?
Is that the earliest known recording of a human voice I hear?
What? What are you talking about? Was that actually the earliest known recording of a human voice?
Yep, it's from 1860.
That's interesting. Why'd you have that?
We're doing an episode on weird instruments. It's part of our Classic FM podcast.
What's a podcast?
Never mind.
So does the voice count as an instrument?
Of course it does. And it doesn't even have to be a human voice. Finnish composer Rautavaara wrote a piece called Cantus Arcticus, which incorporates birdsong. And isn't that really lovely and chirpy? Makes you think of birds.
That is very nice. I'm not angry anymore. In fact, I can't even remember why I was angry in the first place.
It was because I dropped a theremin on your car.
What?
Nothing. On your way now. If you're on the show any longer, we're going to have to pay you.
Fair enough.
What an entertaining interlude.
I disagree. Now, if you've ever been to a restaurant and felt particularly annoying, you may have done that old trick when you wet the tip of your finger and gently rub it around the rim of a wine glass, making a horrible, piercing, high-pitched sound. Well, over the years, people with too much time on their hands realized that if you got a lot of glasses and filled them up with water to different levels, you could create a kind of makeshift instrument. Famous inventor and American founding father Benjamin Franklin took this one step further and built a whole instrument called the glass harmonica, which is made up of lots of spinning glass bowls that you run your wet little fingers over. The sound it makes is genuinely beautiful. Here's a glass harmonica rendition of Tchaikovsky's Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairy. Isn't that lovely? Combine that instrument with a theremin and you could make the weirdest orchestra of all time, especially if you got them to play on a helicopter. Well, I hope you've enjoyed our little journey into the world of weird instruments. Now, the next time someone asks you your favourite instrument, instead of saying the piano or flugelhorn, you can say the carrot or the helicopter, and be a proper smug smarty pants. To play us out, here's a little bit more of that fun typewriter music. Till next time, goodbye.
The recordings in today's episode were used courtesy of Naxos, Sony, BIS, Classic FM, Chandos, Ondine, and the Vegetable Orchestra. Thank you to Langham Research Centre for the use of John Cage's Variations. David Walliams' marvellous musical podcast was written by Benedict Townsend, with further material by the Dawson Brothers. Additional characters were voiced by Ruth Bratt, Mike Wozniak, Nadia Carmel, Colin Holt, Cariad Lloyd, and Guy Harris. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Next time, we'll discover how movie music maestro John Williams wrote the theme to Harry Potter and a whole host of other cinema classics with a little help from a ghost.
It was because I dropped a theremin on your car.
What?
Nothing.